At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Doctor Who is back for the second part of Spyfall, the two-part season premiere, and oh boy, we're gonna break it all down on the Doctor Who After Show. Let's master reviewing.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
Hey everybody, welcome back, Whovians, to AfterBuzz TV for the Doctor Who After Show. Oh, I'm excited to break this down. I'm Zach Wilson, and I have no shame on the pun that opened today's show, even as my co-hosts looked at me in horror. But who are my co-hosts today? We've got Adrian Snow.
Hello, everyone.
And we got Dave Child.
I am Dave. Happy to be here. Everyone, calm down. All the applause.
We got two new Doctor Who episodes in 4 days.
I know.
Is it 4 days?
After a year without.
The holiday break, I have no concept of what time is anymore. Right. Which is a perfect moment for Doctor Who to come back into our lives. This is a good episode. I enjoyed this.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think?
I feel like the last one was so action-packed, and it was so full of, like, things are happening and keep revving up. Mm-hmm. And I kept wondering, like, oh, how are they going to top this? And this one, it kind of took a quieter seat. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It had, like, laser shoes, which was great. Mm-hmm. Finally, we had laser shoes. But it also, like, it didn't feel like a lot of the stuff that it culminated in a off-screen kind of device that I kind of wish, I don't know, I kind of wanted a bit more action to the whole thing.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I think I felt like for them to cast some of the heavy hitters that they cast, like, I didn't feel like the Daniel Barton character had much of a payoff.
Right.
Didn't quite understand. I feel like they kind of rushed through who the Cassavians were.
Cassavin.
There's two A's in the
two
middle.
Two A's, yeah. They rushed through the reveal of that, so I was kind of left like, what was happening? And because I didn't get a chance to rewatch it, I kind of had to, like, just go with what I was able to pull together.
I was trying to figure out what they really wanted. They wanted to upload and basically use our brains as hard drives. But that's what I got, but I couldn't understand quite why.
I will say that's absolutely true. I'm still a little unsure what the goal of the plan was.
Right.
And that's, like, I think where the episode kind of faltered. I had a good time because I was enjoying this, like, the mystery of the Master, and I'm not sure it's, like, it paid off entirely, but I enjoyed the ride of these two episodes.
I love the splitting of the story in this. I love the Doctor being stranded in time, and then the companions kind of trying to figure out, and that whole Bill and Tedding the situation, I thought that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Like, I loved all that stuff, and I liked how they kind of came together, and the Ada Lovelace, all of that stuff was awesome.
It was nice. I kind of spoiled Ada Lovelace and Noor Inayat Khan for myself because I was researching them.
Right, as I was watching it.
And I was like, oh, they're both computer. Oh, okay, I know what this is. I was like, I know exactly what where they're but they hadn't revealed it yet. Yeah.
How was Noor a computer like?
She was a wireless operator. As well as the first female wireless operator.
Wireless operator. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. I just thought it was a little odd that they didn't use a.
Well, let's.
But I guess, okay.
Let's break down this episode and go through all the pieces of it and talk about it. And as we do, you guys in the chat, I see you in there, Andrew Hill, Zigzag, who says it's their first time in the chat. And Lewis Burfan does not agree with our opinions, which you don't have to. But if you do disagree, I want to know what your guys are. Let us know in the chat. We're going to shout you out as we go through the episode.
Yeah.
Let's start with that old trickster.
That old master man.
The master. Yeah. This is the thing since 3 days ago. This is what I was talking to everybody about. When it comes to Doctor Who, what else you can talk about? The Master came back out of nowhere. We didn't get a definitive answer. There was lots of debate.
Did we?
We'll talk about that. There was debate. Is this going to be a Master from before Missy, before John Sim, between John Sim and Missy, or is this after Missy? And based on where he falls in the Master's timeline, what does that mean towards his character and his story, his take on this role? Do you guys think we got an answer?
No.
I kind of thought we did.
Why?
Because he destroyed Gallifrey. So that kind of puts us in a time frame. Like, it kind of makes it seem like... Because that's kind of our constant, is what's happening with Gallifrey. And it feels like because of that, he's only could come after Missy, but I guess not. I guess he could go into the future and then kill.
I mean, this has sort of been the
it's a pocket dimension, so it's timey-wimey and stuff, but like it feels like it's definitely after Sims because of the beats and how we recognized it and everything.
Yeah.
It would have to be after Sims, because otherwise he would be like, how did you know about the beat that's only in my head?
Yeah.
And I got that, like, because he killed... And I don't want him to be after Missy, for the record. I kind of wish he was before Missy, because I like Missy being kind of this...
The last.
...evolved form of the Master. But because of what happened with the Time Lords, that makes it feel like he's coming after Missy. But I could be wrong.
Well, they did also say that it wasn't just, like, the sound that was in his head... Because when the doctor made the Morse code, she also said it's the sound of two heartbeats.
Yeah.
Which is what the four beats were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay, I guess it kind of makes my point mute. But, like, what am I saying? Whatever, I'm tired. But, yeah, I still wasn't quite clear on what they're trying to do. I still feel like he's post-Sim, possibly pre-Missy. But if he's... post Missy, then I do require an explanation. So
yeah, I kind of require an explanation regardless, because the last time we saw Missy, she was dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do have to say,
she was dying.
Dying.
The implication was that she was dying, not regeneration dying.
Yeah.
Right. I do have to say that it if it's post Missy, it seems like the Master learned whatever the Timeless Child stuff, and that kind of broke his brain again.
Yeah.
So that's why he committed genocide.
Plus, he's like super evil this time.
Super. He's like gone full.
Super full.
Full comic book villain now. Like.
Yeah. So the Master's basic goal in this episode is like comic book Lex Luthor, like
kill your precious
style,
humans.
Like I am going to wipe the planet, like wipe out everyone.
He does say one Missy thing though, which I liked, which was how else am I going to get your attention? Mm-hmm. That kind of like relationship between the two, that reminded me of Missy, and that made me miss Missy.
Yeah.
But like, there is some sort of weird cat and mouse thing behind what he's doing. Like, he's just playing with his best friend.
Well, that's what I think the best versions of the Master and the Doctor are, is when it reminds you of, it's not necessarily the relationship between like Lex Luthor and Superman. Like they have a right. specific dynamic, where, but it, like Lex Luthor is separated, but it's the Joker and Batman, or yeah. it's Moriarty and Sherlock Holmes,
right.
where it's not even necessarily about anyone around them. It's just I'm doing. I'm gonna mess with other people just for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the strongest relationship when like I the master's conquering worlds,
like Lego
just
Batman.
So he can like say exactly. hi.
I think Joker Batman is probably the best at, like example of that because yeah. of Lego Batman and also just like you know Kingdom Come Joker, like all that stuff. It yeah. feels very. That tends to be what the Joker likes to do, is
yeah.
just have a relationship with Batman.
That, I think that might be the reference point for this master. This yeah. is like the Joker master, like, because he's laughing a lot. He is like giant mood swings from like giddy and laughing to deadly serious and angry in like this in a fraction of a second.
Yeah.
And also has my favorite like aspects of the Joker, which is really smart. Really manipulating, but we don't know what the motives actually are. And that's what makes them an instrument of chaos, like yeah. chaotic evil. So in that way, yeah, very.
Yeah, that's very Joker. Definitely chaotic evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In this take. Like, I felt like Missy was, like, maybe neutral evil. Like, there wasn't, like, really a callousness to it.
I don't know. First, when Missy's first introduced, she's just casually killing people left and right.
That is true. Like,
yeah, but also becomes kind of a very neutral character towards the end, mm-hmm. where it is like, you know, can be bad, but also can be good. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what made Missy such an interesting take on the Master.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to do a great job with this one to even come close to it because of how strong and how recent...
Growth.
Missy was.
Michelle Gomez is so good. She's the best part of Sabrina, too.
but, so, the Master, and then you have the Kasavians, and he's manipulating them. They do feel kind of like throwaway villains.
Underwritten.
In this, yeah. like, they...
Yeah. I thought they showed a lot of promise in part one.
Yeah.
And so I was, like, looking forward. I'm glad I was kind of right with the whole computer thing.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like, oh, they are kind of ones and zeros that are kind of trying to take over. But they just didn't they didn't follow through. Maybe they'll come back or something. But
so they wanted to use us as hard drives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they wanted to upload.
But, like, for what?
Is this, like, when you take – because everyone's taken way too many photos on their phone, so they've, like, maxed out their data, and like, we don't have any storage. Like, there's a theory that we're going to max out our storage points at a certain level.
Yeah.
As humans.
Like, we're going to just build up so much data that we don't – it's not like we delete old
stuff.
Well,
that would be interesting.
I mean, that's kind of what happens
I forget
as
what,
we get
it's
older.
It's not the singularity, but there's some there's a term for this, like, theory that we'll run out of digital space.
That would be interesting because that would also be, like, I kind of wish they did that because that would be a playoff of overpopulation. Maybe they're an overpopulated, like, they have too much data.
Yeah.
And now they need a new place to live. They need a new place to, like, be a part of stuff. So that's why they want to kind of take over our brains.
Yeah, and maybe they'll bring them back. I think I could be wrong, but didn't they bring back the first episode villain later? Am I wrong?
Last year?
Tim Shaw.
Was in the premiere. Right. Never heard from again until the finale.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what, you know, that would be nice. Because I just feel like they kind of got underserved in this. And in service of the Master story, which I completely understand. But at the same time, it was like a lot of information to take in, especially when they introduced the two historical figures or three historical figures.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, but what about this alien race?
Like, yeah, it was,
can you
especially
tell
because
me more?
The Kasavians last up in the first part of this were kind of like mocking. They literally said they were mocking
us. They had a
personality.
Yeah,
yeah, and then this that didn't they had no communication with the doctor or the team. In this episode.
Yeah.
So I kind of want it. I hope they come back
yeah.
only because I think there's more to them. Like there's more, there's something else that they either maybe cut out of. These were long episodes already. So I'm wondering if something hit the cutting room floor.
Probably. And it would be nice to see like what these beings look like. I swear though, if they're just Cybermen.
I don't think they are. I think they're light. I think we've seen them in different forms. Like when they're
trying to get through their dimension. And so it seems like they can't fully, that's what she was saying, like they can't fully enter.
But in the carpet world, isn't that kind of like the upside down? Isn't that kind of their dimension? And we saw them in that world and it was just like little things of
traces
light.
Traces of light? Maybe. Like I feel like that's synapses. Where they, like their observer, where they go to observe. It's like the space between. Like if there's a space between the, whatchamacallit, upside down and Earth, it would be like that.
It did sound like the doctor was like, oh, and this is your world. It said enough that it was like kind of like.
That's how I took it. Like this is their universe or their, like,
that's what it looks like. I still don't understand why they kept bringing Ada there. I kind of don't understand.
To Observer, right? That's what they said, that to Observer and information.
Because they were already trying, whatever they were trying to do. They were already doing without the master. The master just sped up the process took it to an extreme. So they were trying to figure out how humans work and access them. And like, you could argue that the implication is sort of that by them studying Ada, they may have like implanted the idea
of computers
this idea of there's more. And then you're like, well, is there more? I must investigate. And then you come up with ideas.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, just seeing the carpet world, as you put it, reminds me a lot of the theories of quantum physics, where there's quarks and neutrons and all that stuff, where they look weird in different shapes, and they have that in the animations of what those look like. They always look like those sort of semi-transparent.
Also, they look like those little lines were twisty, so they kind of look like DNA.
Yeah.
And then they brought in the idea that DNA is a form of information storage, and that's why they're doing this.
Yeah.
So I think it was all leaning towards that, and I do like bringing in these like important moments of computer history with Ada Lovelace and everything.
And it was nice that they talked about all the women in computer history.
Yeah.
Because women were the first computer programmers. Mm-hmm. For real talk. It's real. Couldn't figure it out.
I guess they wanted to be in Paris at everything, so that's why they had Noor. But I was wondering why they didn't bring in... There's a famous actress who actually invented wireless, like... And I'm blanking on her name, so I'll get back to this.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's a famous historical figure and a famous actress who went and created Wi-Fi as we know it, and then went back to acting. Mm-hmm. Marlena Dietrich.
Oh, Marlene Dietrich.
Marlene Dietrich, I think. I'm going
to according to my 4-second Google search, Hedy Lamarr.
Hedy Lamarr.
Hedy Lamarr did that?
It's Hedy Lamarr.
That's Hedley.
Okay.
Sorry.
Hedley Lamarr.
I can't not say do that. It's Hedy. The real person real person is Hedy Lamarr.
Okay, yeah,
the Blazing Saddles character that I'm making a joke about is Hedley Lamarr.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Well, cool.
I'm sorry. That's my favorite book.
Well, that's like, which is an awesome fact and really cool, but she wasn't like in Paris, I think, during that time.
No,
and I think that's why they picked Noor, who was like, you know, the first wireless operator, but kind of like, computer adjacent? I don't know.
I did not know that about Hedy Lamarr.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Taken off track, right? They got taken off track when Ada touched. Is kind of like the original thing.
Yeah, but also they had like everyone was connected to
historical
moments in computers. So it's like
I wish I had had more time to look up a little bit more about Noor, but
yeah.
Have to go read a Hedy Lamarr biography now.
Yeah.
This is really fascinating. Like, she basically invented, like, a wireless communication system in the 40s. So same time period.
Mm-hmm.
But the government said, what do you want us to do with this in World War II? And was like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It didn't use it.
Well, used it a little bit. It kind of came back later in all the Wi-Fi. She invented Wi-Fi.
It didn't use it in World War II.
Yeah.
Is what I mean.
Right.
There's a ton of...
Anyway,
times where women something amazing and the men came and took all the credit. Right. Albert Einstein, you know, we do it. It happens all the time.
I mean, this episode could have gone to like the glitz and glam of 1940s Hollywood,
right? Which
they may have to do an American accent sometimes. That's a struggle in Doctor Who sometimes. I'm just keeping it real.
maybe later. Maybe we can meet Hedy Lamarr in a future Doctor Who episode.
Yeah.
But anyway, back on track towards talking about weird aliens and stuff.
Yeah.
With hats.
So yeah, so I did appreciate going and pulling these historical figures.
Yeah.
And I love when the Doctor, it reminded me of Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, where the Doctor's just like plucking random people out of history to become the companions for that episode.
Right.
It was nice to see. I enjoyed that aspect in as much that it was fun to see. I do wish that they had put a little bit more focus on what they established in part one.
Yeah. And I just felt like also when it climaxed, when it reached the end, when it was like the Silver Lady became very important. Mm-hmm. And then also being like, and I already did the thing. And then it just worked. And I kind of felt it didn't feel like the trickery that Doctor Who sometimes feels like, where they're being sneaky with how they succeed.
Yeah.
And especially considering the last one had like getting on it. I mean, this had the airplane too, but getting on the airplane, like a chase with like shooting guns and a motorcycle chase. This had Nazis, yes, but it didn't really have.
Well, I think they were trying to make it like part one was supposed to be like a spy send up, and part two is like classic Who.
Did feel like classic.
There's lasers coming out of Graham's shoes.
That was great.
Tap dancing, essentially.
That was great.
You know, we're like,
don't move, or I'll give you the old soft shoe.
Yeah. That made me laugh. I did feel like they forgot about Ryan's cufflinks until the very end. Mm-hmm. It's like, and rocket cufflinks too. We need to show this at least once.
Was anyone else at that moment where they're like shooting at it with lasers and rockets?
Right.
I'm like, does anyone try just like pushing it over?
Yeah.
I think I turned to you, Dave, while we were watching. Was just like, push.
Oh,
like, That's what I was trying to say. I was like,
give it a shot.
Nobody even like ran at it. Or like tried to take the glass off. Or like.
That did remind me of another good moment that I liked was when the Master shows up in Lovelace's time and she uses the steam powered gun and the like. And the grenade and everything. Mm. And you just have the Doctor being like, I do not approve of this.
Yeah.
Just to be like, I still don't like guns. But even though this is helping, I'm not doing it. She's doing it. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. It was, I thought it was a weird beat when they had Daniel Barton kill his mom. Like,
yeah, why? Yeah,
like,
whoa, the mommy issues.
Yeah. I was like, oh, we got mommy issues. But it was just kind of like, oh, okay. I don't know.
I also thought they were going to lead to something where he's transformed her into some sort of new human that is blended with these things. I thought we were leading towards that.
I just wanted to see the end result. Show me the end result of what they're doing. Like, show me at least one person who's transformed in the way with which they're discussing.
I also just don't like it when evil characters are doing stuff for the sake of being evil.
Yeah.
And that felt like a very evil thing to do without any real reason. So I kind of need a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, even the Master has more, where you feel like there's a relationship there, and they're playing with it, blah, 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 and using other people's as pawns, because the only people that matter in the world are the Doctor and the Master. That's great.
So, but the Master also did say that he spent 70 years in the 20th century, or 77 years trying to get back. So was there at one point then where the Master overlapped with the Master as the Prime Minister, and, like, I don't know. I think there was like an article, I didn't get to read it, but about like, did Doctor Who just set up a continuity issue? Because it was like, wait, he got landlocked.
So does that mean that during the end of time, when John Sim uses that machine to turn everybody in the world into John Sim Master, the Master got turned into John Sim Master? That had to feel weird. No,
unless
I think he only did it to humans, but
I mean, headcanon stuff, maybe he just hit.
Look, it's that is, of all the Doctor Who continuity issues, a fairly minor one.
Yeah.
Especially if this is a post Missy Master, where he's like, I can't interfere here because that would break everything.
Yeah.
And like, even the Master knows when paradoxes will break the universe.
But I feel like we kind of have thrown paradoxes out the window.
I think the real point is that it felt a little convenient. It felt a little convenient to just have him show up and be like, I'm here because I spent 77 years just waiting for this to happen.
It felt convenient. Anytime he showed up in the history, I was like, oh, is this planned? Is this like a different, or is this an earlier master that's like plotting?
Lewis like, no. Spurs fan is just like, it's Doctor Who. Please don't overthink it.
Well, no. Why would anyone like, but at the same time, if you're going to be setting up things for the story, I just want to be sure that I can handle the season. You know what I mean? Not like, of course, it's Doctor Who and like it's timey-wimey.
So, the thing is, they are setting up stuff with the Master.
Yeah.
Because like they dropped, we finally brought back that thing from last season in episode 2, the Timeless Child.
Yeah, which we set once and then
we talked about at length in that after show, and then it was never heard of again until now. Yeah. Now it's back. And what does it mean?
Still don't know.
I don't remember if I dropped this theory last time, but it starts. So the facts that we have, the Master learned something about like the founding fathers of Gallifrey, the origins of the Time Lords, that freaked him out to such a crazy extent that he needed to murder everyone. And it's something about the Timeless Child, which I think sounds like it's their creation myth.
Maybe. I'm wondering if it's like, continue.
So my theory that I'm going to throw out there, and I can't remember if I've ever said this on the air, but it's mainly based on like the fact that River Song traveling while being conceived while on the TARDIS, like got Time Lord abilities, is that like somehow future humans are Time Lords. Through like traveling going through time travel, and he's just like, I'm not a human, and he flips the table and Gallifrey
burns. Finds out he's human.
The Timeless Child is like the first human to discover time travel or something.
That would still sync up because light years and all that kind of stuff and time travel and
the
first thing I thought it was kind of a Columbus situation where finds out that one of the founding fathers that they always kind of think is great, you know, was a genocidal maniac or something like that, and maybe killed a bunch of people in order to start the Time Lords. Why the Master would care about that?
That also kind of lines up with just Time Lord history in general. They're not like a nice people in general. Like the Time Lords as a community, not like kind.
Right. Yeah.
So that wouldn't. I feel like that would just be like, oh yeah, there's a Time Lord who killed a bunch of people. That makes sense.
Right. It wouldn't be enough. It does feel like it is very, like, turning them human, which does feel like they're leaning towards that way. It feels dangerous because you're playing with the entire canon there.
Yeah, well, anything you set up with the origins of the Time Lords, you're like, whoa, what are you going to do to Doctor Who continuity?
Well, at the same time, though, we don't know that much about the history of Time Lords or Gallifrey.
Oh, yeah.
So there is space to do that. And, you know, I've always found that to be fascinating, that, like, the aliens that humans would meet would just be future humans that were able to come back through some timey-wimey crap.
It's kind of a sci-fi trope. It's just something I've always wondered about the Time Lords, and it's, like, been sitting in my head for years and be crazy if it paid off now.
Right.
All these years later.
Like, I was right all along.
But I don't know, I don't even know that I want them to go that direction. The thing is, if you set that up now, if you drop that, you can't undrop it. And that's the thing. It's fair. They did just sort of be like, the Master's back. But how? He's back.
And then there was that whole time where everyone earthed me about aliens, and they're like, psych. Yeah. Totally erase that.
Right.
Doesn't really matter at this point. We all know that if they don't want to do it, they'll just erase it.
So there was that time where everyone couldn't die on Earth, if you're looking at the extended continuity. You know, there's a lot of weirdness with Earth that, you know, everyone's kind of forgotten about.
Yeah. I feel like there's more crazy big stuff going on in here. But small stuff, just like the human side of it, we really saw from the companions' perspectives how little they know about the Doctor, and then maybe the least of any companions that have been with the Doctor for this long.
Yeah, they didn't get the whole speech about I'm from Gallifrey.
No, they didn't get recap or anything. It felt like last season was very removed from the Doctor Who universe in a lot of ways, except for a Dalek. You know, so it is nice to see that through their eyes, where it's like, wait, there's a whole history to this person that we don't even know. We kind of vaguely even know that this person was once a man. So
they didn't even know that.
No,
like we're kind of like,
Graham didn't
sounds
know.
Like a joke.
It was like, I thought everyone was joking.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, she said it, but I don't think they ever took her seriously. That was a fun moment this week. The what did she call
it? The disappearing
herself?
Man, or the appearing man.
The amazing appearing man.
Yeah. Lady.
Every time.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you can refer to yourself with a certain pronoun for 2,000 years.
Takes a while.
But were there any other moments that really stood out to you guys in this episode while I skimmed through my notes?
The whole, like, Russia thing, when he compared the Kasavians?
The Kasavians.
Kasavians, whatever, to Russia. I was like, ooh, deep cut, okay.
Yeah.
And then
anymore. It's a pretty recent cut.
Yeah, well, no, a deep cut is what I said. And then also, like, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
When he's like, I'm sure we can all be reasonable, and he's talking to the Nazis. I was like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah. Oh, that was what I wanted to ask. What did you guys think of putting the master in a Nazi uniform?
Well, I'm just glad they addressed it. That's all I wanted.
And also that it was, like, far even for him. So it was like, oh, yeah, this master is, like, ultra evil. Ultra evil. Because I don't think ever have they had one of the regulars or recurring character become or dress like a Nazi. Usually they're just going
even
up
the
against
master?
Nazis. Even the master.
I feel like I've seen the master
dress as a Nazi.
I don't know. It feels
like
something.
He's been a tyrannical prime minister. I mean, that's pretty.
It doesn't feel like a deep. It doesn't feel like a change for him.
Yeah,
it just felt odd to see, like, the first master who's not a white man suddenly be like a Nazi for a while. So it took me like a while to be like, how is he doing that? How are Nazis being like, I'm cool with this guy?
I didn't have a question to that.
Well,
they addressed it.
And they did, and that was great. And that was like, okay, good. They've addressed it. That was enough for me.
Yeah. No, this episode had a lot of interesting moments and, like, strong just, like, takes. Like, it was bold, at least, in, like, a lot of the things. And I think that we'll get more answers as we go. Before we wrap out of here and do a round of predictions, we want to find out who was in this episode in our segment, Who's Who on Who? And that sound means Adrian, take it away.
I also like when the doctor said snap. I was like, oh, River Song. All right. So I just want to give a shout out to the real women who were out there. We talked about them a little bit, but Ada Lovelace was an English mathematician known for her work on the analytical engine, and she was one of the first computer programmers, or was the very first computer programmer, essentially.
Right.
Kind of created the whole idea of computing.
And she was Lord Byron's daughter?
Was that Lord Byron's daughter?
Yeah.
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 She's just, you know.
Which is kind of amazing.
Rocking it back in the 1800s. So shout out to Ada Lovelace. I'm going to be quick about this.
Yeah.
Noor Inayat Khan, as we said before, was a British spy. And also the first Muslim war heroine. I always say that wrong. And first female wireless operator.
Yeah.
She was also a published author under the name Nora Baker. And fortunately, she did die a year later in a concentration camp. So she didn't survive World War II. And then the actresses who portrayed her was Aurora Marion. She's a Dutch actress. This is actually one of her bigger credits. So she's up and coming in a way. She's up next. She has Echoes of the Past and then a TV show called Parliament. And then the woman who portrayed Ada Lovelace was Sylvie Briggs. She's known for Cold Feet, Kingdom, Seize the Day. And this is also like her fourth credit. Then lastly, I did want to talk about the telepathic contact between the doctor and the master. Because they did a nice little throwback to saying, like, you're not the only one who can be classic. And I kind of didn't have a lot of time to look this up, but one of the few times where that is used is in The Three Doctors from 1972, when the three different versions of the doctor come together to do some stuff. I'm sorry. I'm not a classic person, y'all.
No, that's a great pull because I was I haven't seen the Three Doctors. Yeah. It's one of the ones that I'm like, it's like on my list of like I have to sit down and watch these things.
But I had a feeling I was
seen
like,
a long time ago, but I forget it now.
Yeah,
but it did feel like a that makes sense. It didn't feel like a stretch to have like two Time Lords communicating telepathically because we kind of always forget that the Doctor has these
other
telepathic like skills that not always used.
But it was nice to see because we don't ever really see it with. The new series.
So right.
I just want to give it a shout out.
And I did double check, and Ada Lovelace is the only legitimate child of Lord Byron.
Only has legitimate.
Other children, but only legitimate one with Lady Byron.
All right. Well, Asterix, we've run out of time for this episode. Yeah. Our time machine doesn't work as well as we had hoped. But real quick, let's just do a prediction each before we sign off.
Okay.
Your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
My guess is we might not see a lot of Master this season. I bet we're only going to see the Master towards the end of the season. I feel like they're going to do what we did with, like, Tim Shaw. Was that his name? We'll have the Master be the one that appears. We might not see the Kasavin again. So.
All right.
I also feel the same way. I think we're going to go on a few more capers. It would be nice if the Doctor is more willing to resolve some of the stuff she needs to with her companions. But I think next we're back to sci-fi all the way.
Yeah, I think we're going to be doing some seemingly boring, like not boring episodes, but like, oh, this is an innocuous journey to this. But the Doctor's really just digging for timeless child information by going to different planets and not telling her companions. And that's going to come to an emotional head.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us here at AfterBuzz TV for the Doctor Who After Show. I've been Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. I also have another podcast, two podcasts that I do. One here at AfterBuzz on Popcorn Talk, Marvel Movie News, where we just shout about Marvel every Thursday at 1 p.m. And also I have a show called Ships in the Night, where we take two characters from different universes and we just come up with their fan fiction crossover romance story. It's super weird, and it's called Ships in the Night. Dave's been on it.
It's goofy. Cool.
I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. You can also catch me in 2 hours for the Dracula After Show for Netflix, and then most likely January 15th for the Magicians After Show when that show returns.
And I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MrDaveChild on the Twitters and the Instagram. I believe I'm coming back for Legends of Tomorrow, so you'll see me in more timey-wimey stuff. So keep a lookout. My name is Dave Child.
All right, guys. This has been the Doctor Who After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.